Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And let me ask all of you a question out there. That's right. I'm talking to all of you HR leaders at small and medium companies. I know that you're hungry to be more data-driven. You want an easier way to answer workforce questions. And you want to stop messing with all of those spreadsheets that you're pulling from all your different HR systems. What if I told you that there was a people dashboard out there with pre-built connectors to all of the HR systems you're using so you could automatically pull in all your data to view, track, share, and analyze it all in one place? Well, your dreams just came true because we have built the ultimate people dashboard for you. That's right. If you go to employeecycle.com, you can check out our people dashboard that has pre-built API connectors to all the systems that you're using, like Bamboo HR, namely Zenefits, Office Vibe, 15.5, Lever, you name it. We can help you pull in all of that data so you, your managers, and your executives can view, track, share, and analyze it all from one place. Go to employeecycle.com to check it out. You can request a demo or even sign up for a free trial. But that's enough about me and our company because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Mark Avnet. He's the VP of People at Simo Media. And today we're going to discuss how to efficiently manage your recruiting pipeline. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Mark, welcome!
Thanks, Bruce. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for deciding to share your time with me on the show. So, Mark, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Oh, through a very, very unorthodox pathway. In college, I majored in physics, and I eventually got a PhD in engineering and spent time as a management consultant. So my path was very, very circuitous, but ultimately I majored in physics because I wanted to understand how the world works at the most fundamental level and eventually realized that the answer to that question was more in people than in physics equations and found myself more and more studying those topics. My PhD focused on teams and how teams work together. I worked on issues of organizational culture as a management consultant and how that intersected with the business side. So, and then eventually got into HR through the learning and development, career growth, and employee engagement sort of space, and not through some of the more traditional HR pathways around like compensation and benefits, compliance, recruiting, not as much in that stuff. So definitely a non-traditional pathway to get into HR.
Awesome. Thanks for that background. So I want to jump right into the topic, which is how to efficiently manage your recruiting pipeline. So can you give me and the audience a sense of what does your recruiting team look like? Do you have a head of recruiting? Are you doing the recruiting? Do you have recruiters? If so, are they focusing on different parts of the business? Are you using an ATS? Give us a picture of what this all looks like.
Yeah, so our entire HR team is me and one other person. So that encompasses all aspects of the people function, recruiting included, which means that we need to be creative about how we manage resources, both about what we do within our team, what pieces hiring managers take on themselves, and also we've done some outsourcing with an external search firm as well. We're a relatively small company, about 85 people, and our hiring pipeline can be very spiky over time. So if we were to hire dedicated recruiters, they probably spend some of their time overworked and some of their time with little to do. So to manage that spiky pipeline, we have to kind of take things as they come, which is where supplementing and outsourcing is really helpful.
And are you using an ATS? If so, which one? And what kind of roles are you hiring for?
Yeah, so we're using Bamboo HR for inbound, and then we're just using a separate project management tool to consolidate all of them. We're actively thinking about what we want to do for our ATS going forward because we're really sort of in the process of building out what we want our recruiting process to look like. When I joined just under 3 months ago, You know, for my first several weeks, I was told that our recruiting process, people would use the term the Wild West in terms of, like, you know, hiring managers were kind of doing their own thing. We had some loose connection to HR. But as we're starting to build a real process, and to your point, an efficient recruiting process, we're thinking more and more about how do we want to organize both the process and our tech stack around it.
Got it. And in regards to how you're getting open positions approved, who that's going through, what does that process look like?
Yeah, so that's actually very connected to our business goals, our corporate strategy, and our approach to objectives and key results, which we update and track every quarter. And we're going through a process of pressure testing OKRs across departments. So every department is creating their own objectives, and then working with each other department that they have kind of dependencies with to understand where they need to hold each other accountable. And that basically brings out where the resourcing issues that we need in each department and what are the priorities across the company. And based on that, we're able to build out priorities and put together what we think our needed roles are. Now, that's what we're building going toward in the future. Right now, it's more of an as needed. We're just sort of formalizing some of that process now.
I'm so glad you brought up the OKRs and goals around your recruiting process, because one of the things that we always try to stress on the podcast and when customers are using our product is that alignment of HR and the overall business goals. So it's so great to see you connecting the dots there. So in regards to your entire recruiting process from start to finish, what are the individual steps and stages there?
It really depends on the role. So right now, like I said, for roles where we have a continuous flow of candidates, or where we need some real expertise in sourcing the right candidates, we're working with an outside firm to help us to find the right candidates. Then there are other roles we're looking at. We're hiring, for example, we're hiring right now for a VP of marketing and growth to head up our marketing efforts for the company. And for that, we're going into various people's networks. We're sourcing from various places, and you know, just kind of taking that one as a more kind of custom bespoke approach. And then there are things in between that are just open roles that we sort of we post out on LinkedIn. We put them up on our own website and through Bamboo HR. And we hope, but we're getting more and more into sourcing candidates. And like I said, you know, outsourcing is helping with that sourcing right now. But I think we'll be doing more and more of our own strategic talent sourcing in the future.
So, Mark, in regards to the individual stages that I'm looking for here, especially for our audience to hear, what do they look like? And what I mean by that is, are you implementing a recruiting pipeline or a recruiting process where you have somebody go through interview one, interview two, in-person interview? Well, in-person may be a little tricky now because of COVID, but meet the dog interview, background screening, drug testing, online assessment if it's an engineer. What does that whole process look like?
Yeah, so we're actually piloting a process that we want to put in place now for the VP of marketing and growth position that we're currently hiring for. And the process that we're building out, first, it's based on some dimensions or competencies that we've defined that we want to test everyone on. And there are 9 of those competencies that we're having different interviewers look at. So our first stage is an HR screen, and I'm conducting that interview. And that interview is both the screen and also a test of 2 of the competencies. Then the candidates that I pass on go to our chief revenue officer, our CRO, who, although the role will be reporting to our CEO, she's serving as the hiring manager for the purpose of this role. And so she then goes through a screen, and she's testing on 2 of the competencies we're looking at as well. Then we've got a round of a full panel of interviewers, our head of product, another senior executive with some significant marketing experience, and they're each testing on two of the competencies we're looking at, as well as two more casual conversations with a couple of members of one member of the marketing team and one member of the product team who's focused on product marketing. And then after going through that panel interview, the goal is to get to the last few candidates that will go to our CEO for the final assessment. And so we've got these clear structured steps along the process, and the CEO himself is also testing on some of these competencies in this model. We're still refining it and building it out, but we're trying to get as much structure and process in place as we can, not to make it overly process oriented, but to really ensure that we have as consistent experience across candidates. I kind of think of it, maybe it's my science background talking, but I think of it like a controlled experiment in the lab. We want the only variable between candidates to be the performance of one candidate versus the next, so we can really make the most fair and decision and find the best candidate for our business.
Speaking of fair and creating a fair process, how are you going about removing things like unconscious bias or other things that would make the recruiting process less fair?
You know, it's a really great point. I mean, there's a few different things. I mean, first of all, diversity and inclusion is a big priority for the company right now, and there's a lot we're doing just to raise people's consciousness around that as well. And that's a whole separate topic that I won't get too deep into. I think you make a great point about having some specific trainings around unconscious bias and things to look for. I've seen that in previous places that I've worked, and I think it's a great thing for us to think about bringing in. But the main thing that we're doing right now at this stage is creating that structured process, like I said, and being very clear about what the process looks like and who and what competencies each interviewer is testing on, and making sure that each interviewer is asking every candidate the same questions so that we can have as consistent an experience as possible for all of the candidates. And yes, I think you're absolutely right that taking in further steps, and I don't know if you're referring to specific trainings around unconscious bias and being aware of that and how to test for it in yourself and move past it. But I think it's absolutely a great point and something that we will be getting into our processes as we start to build this out more.
And as an HR data company that looks to help customers with these types of things and insights, how are you looking at the diversity and inclusion metrics as candidates are moving through the pipeline so that you can see what that percentage of underrepresented candidates looks like and where they're potentially falling through the cracks?
Yeah, I mean, right now, like I said, as a small company, we don't have huge numbers, but we do have a lot of candidates for a number of our roles. So we can certainly look at that. You know, it's actually really funny. We're a very, very data-driven company, but we historically haven't been data driven on our internal processes and our people function and things like that. So I think there is a lot to be done candidly to promote that. We're at the early stages of this journey, but yes, we need to be focused on data around diversity metrics and ultimately really being sure that we're focusing on the top of the funnel and that we're getting the most representative field of candidates right from the beginning. When you think about diversity hiring, the way I think about it is it's not about increasing diversity. It's about increasing your talent in your organization by availing yourself of a much broader and richer set of candidates out there in the field. And you do that by creating a more diverse candidate pool at the top of the funnel. So that requires, you know, targeting in the right places and making sure that all the different types of candidates that you want to see are coming through. And then that speaks to employer branding and how you message the type of company and the type of employer you are to two potential candidates out there in lots of different forums. And that's another thing. That's another piece of our recruiting process that's a key priority for us, is that employer branding piece. And then, tracking the metrics against it is an essential part of how well we're doing. Like I've kind of indicated, we're at the early stages of the journey here. So I look forward to coming back to you at a future date with all the successes that we've had as we build this out, and let you know how it's going.
One of the things that we found as we work with more customers, especially with their ATS data, is that similar to how a lot of salespeople are terrible at updating the pipeline in their CRM and constantly being yelled at to do that, we find the exact same thing on the recruiter side, where people are not moving the candidates through the journey to the appropriate stages in time. And so when you're trying to calculate things like time to hire or acceptance rates or other things, people just are not moved into the appropriate step. So how are you managing that, and what does that currently look like for you?
Yeah, we're starting it. I mean, to your point about it's kind of like, garbage in, garbage out, just like in just like in tech development, and you're in your analytics around your recruiting, it's the same thing. And you need to make sure that your data is clear and reliable. And that's a big piece of the processes that we're putting in place now, and making sure that we're documenting where candidates are in the pipeline, the demographic information, as you hinted out before, to really be able to do that. If I went back to some of our historical data and tried to do some of the analytics to see where we've been, I think I'd be very hard pressed to be able to do that, because to your point, I don't think we have that stuff tracked historically. So where we are right now is making sure that we're tracking it effectively from here on out, and be in a position to measure it as we go forward.
And then the last question that I have is, can you help the audience with some type of strategy or direction for how they would start to officially manage their recruiting pipeline? What I found is that a lot of HR leaders, and just people in general, they might not do certain things because you just don't know where to start. And to be clear, when we're interviewing people like yourself, it's not that we believe that any one person has all the answers, but it's really to provide more context so that the audience either leaves with answers or also leaves with more questions in regards to how this can affect them. So what would you want to leave our audience with in regards to where to start, and where did you start to make your recruiting pipeline more efficient?
Yeah, I'd say start small. Pick one critical role and that it's really important that you get right, and start putting a lot of energy into getting the process right for that one role. Ask yourselves, what are the key characteristics that we're looking for? What's the key type of experience that we're looking for? And make sure that you define what those things are called and how you test against them. Have a clear and consistent set of questions that you ask all your candidates, and build a process around the key stakeholders to be on the interview panel. Keep a consistent structure for that one role, and go through the process and see how great a hire you get out of it, and do some retrospective analysis afterward, and look and take a look and say what worked well and what didn't. And as you see what works well, start thinking about, now how do we roll this out at scale? How do we take the competencies that we define and define them more broadly for other roles? How do we take the panel approach that we built and built similar panels around interview panels around other roles, and just build that structure more and more. But I think if you start with, how am I going to revamp the whole recruiting process, you might get lost or run down the wrong places. But if you just focus on one critically important visible hire that you're looking at and get that one right, you can build everything else from that pilot.
Mark, thanks so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for sharing all your wisdom and experience around this process. And we look forward to chatting with you at a later date to see how this evolved and how it made your recruiting process and business better. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Woo! Thank you, Bruce.
So where can people find you and Simul Media online?
I can give my email, mf@simulmedia.com. And, you know, I can be found on LinkedIn as well, Mark Avnet. And yeah, that's about it. Our website is www.simulmedia.com.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all of that information in the show notes. So for all of you listening out there, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Mark and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you can leave a rating, because it shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast, you enjoy this episode, and then you're hungry for more episodes, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.